Picture the high desert north of Los Angeles. Mojave dry lake beds, Joshua trees, and a slab of restricted airspace the flight test world calls the Black Mountain Corridor. A small white jet with a needle nose climbs through 30,000 feet, a chase plane off its wing. And then the number on the telemetry screen ticks past 1. Mach 1. For the first time since the Concorde shut down her engines, an American civil aircraft built by a private company has just gone supersonic over the United States. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower. And this is ATIS, your afternoon update. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's what you need to know. The airplane is called the XB-1. That's Boom Supersonics Demonstrator, a single-seat jet with 3 engines tucked under a slender fuselage, built to prove that a small, well-funded company could design, build, and fly a supersonic airplane from a clean sheet. And it did. Over a series of flights out of the Mojave Air and Spaceport, the XB-1 pushed past the speed of sound. And it did it more than once, climbing to just over Mach 1.1 on later runs. Now, the headline is easy. Little jet goes fast, but the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Because the interesting part of this isn't the demonstrator. The XB-1 was always a stepping stone. The interesting part is what Boom says it learned, and the bet the company is now making about how you actually bring supersonic passenger flight back to a country that outlawed it over land more than 50 years ago. Let me back up and give you the context, because this matters for understanding why anybody cares. When the Concorde flew, and she flew commercially from 1976 until 2003, she was magnificent, and she was a commercial dead end. She burned fuel like a fighter. She carried around 100 passengers, and she was loud. Not just loud on takeoff, loud in cruise. When an airplane flies faster than the speed of sound, it drags a pressure wave behind it, and that wave reaches the ground as a sonic boom, a sharp double crack like distant thunder that never rolls, enough to rattle windows, enough to generate complaints across an entire state. And so back in 1973, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, did something specific. It didn't ban supersonic airplanes, it banned the boom, the rule, and it's still on the books today in Part 91. Prohibits civil aircraft from flying faster than Mach 1 over land in the United States, not the speed itself. The rule is written around the boom reaching the ground. That distinction is about to become the whole ballgame, because in the summer just passed, the current administration directed the FAA to revisit that half-century-old rule, to move toward a standard based not on a hard speed limit, but on whether a boom actually reaches people on the ground, and that's exactly the door. Boom Supersonic has been trying to walk through. So let's talk about the technology, because this is where it gets genuinely interesting for anybody who cares about how airplanes work. There's a phenomenon supersonic engineers have known about for decades. It's called Mach cutoff. Here's the idea. The speed of sound isn't a fixed number. It changes with temperature, and the air gets colder as you climb. So the speed of sound up high is different from the speed of sound near the ground. When a shockwave leaves your airplane at altitude and travels down through those changing layers of air, it bends. It refracts the same way a straw looks bent in a glass of water. And if you fly at the right speed, just barely supersonic at the right altitude, that shockwave bends upward before it ever reaches the surface. It refracts back up into the sky and dissipates. The airplane is genuinely supersonic. The people underneath hear nothing, no boom. Not a quieter boom, no boom at all. Boom calls this boomless cruise. The physics have a longer pedigree than the marketing name, but the claim is the same. Fly around Mach 1.1, up high in the right conditions, and you can go supersonic over land without a single window rattling below you. And here's the piece that made news out of the XB-1 flights. Boom, says its demonstrator, confirmed that effect in the real world. Their data and independent acoustic sensors on the ground indicated that on those supersonic runs, no boom reached the surface. This affects you if you've ever looked up at a Kentnail and thought supersonic travel was a closed chapter of aviation history. Because if that Mach cutoff claim holds up under FAA scrutiny, and that is a real if, then the entire economic argument for supersonic flight changes. The Concorde was limited to ocean routes because it couldn't boom over land. New York to London, nothing coast to coast, nothing over the continental interior. But an airplane that can quietly cruise supersonic over Kansas is an airplane that can fly Los Angeles to New York, Seattle to Miami, and cut those times close to in half. Now let me put my controller hat on and give you the sober read, because I told you at the top, I don't do speculation without flagging it. And I'm going to flag some things. First, the XB-1 is a demonstrator. It is not a small airliner. The airplane that's supposed to carry paying passengers is called Overture, and it is a much larger, four-engine design meant to carry 60 to 80 people at around Mach 1.7 over water. Overture does not exist yet as a flying airplane. Boom is building a factory in North Carolina at the Piedmont Triad International Airport, and it's developing its own engine called Symphony because no existing engine maker wanted to build a bespoke supersonic power plant for a startup. Designing a clean sheet jet engine is one of the hardest, most expensive things you can do in aerospace. That is a long road, and it is littered with the wreckage of companies that thought it would be shorter. Second, Mach cutoff is real physics, but it is conditional physics. It depends on temperature, on altitude, on the atmosphere on a given day. The margin between quiet and legal and oops, that boomed can be thin, and it moves with the weather, making that repeatable and certifiable flight after flight in real airline operations is a very different problem than demonstrating it a handful of times in controlled test conditions over an empty desert. The engineering press, AVWeb among them, has been careful to say the demonstration is promising, not proven at scale. I'll say the same. Third, and this is the regulatory reality, a presidential directive to revisit a rule is not a new rule. The FAA now has to actually write it. There will be a rulemaking process, there will be a comment period, there will be noise standards to define, measurement methods to agree on, and a question nobody has fully answered yet, which is how you certify that an airplane won't boom the ground when the thing that determines whether it booms is partly the atmosphere, which the pilot does not control. That process takes years, not months, so if you're picturing a supersonic boarding pass next summer, ease off the throttle. But here's why I'm covering this on an afternoon update instead of filing it under someday. Three things moved at once, and that's rare. The demonstrator actually flew supersonic and actually collected the boomless cruise data. The regulatory door actually cracked open with a directive to rewrite the overland rule. And the money and the manufacturing, the factory, the engine program, the airline orders on the books are all still moving forward, instead of quietly folding. When physics, policy, and capital line up in the same quarter, you pay attention. That's not hype. That's just how real change in this industry has always announced itself quietly in a test corridor before it ever shows up at a gate. Let me connect this to your flying, because everything on this show eventually comes back to the person in the seat. If a boom-based supersonic standard becomes real, it changes the airspace conversation. Supersonic corridors, altitude blocks reserved for boomless crews, new separation and traffic questions up in the flight levels where these airplanes would operate. That's above where most of us in general aviation spend our time. But the rulemaking ripples down. Every time the FAA opens a Part 91 rule for one class of operator, it's worth reading the notice, because the definitions they write can reach further than the airplane that prompted them. When that notice of proposed rulemaking comes out, and it will, that's a comment period where your voice as a certificated pilot actually counts. I'd encourage you to read it and file a comment. That's not a formality. That's the system working the way it's supposed to. And there's a broader point here about how aviation moves forward. The XB-1 was flown by test pilots doing careful, incremental, envelope expansion work. Subsonic first, then transonic, then, only after the data said it was safe, past Mach 1. That's the same discipline that governs a good check ride, a good first flight in a new type, a good transition into anything faster or more complex than what you flew last. You expand the envelope on purpose, a little at a time, with the data in front of you. The airplane in the Mojave was doing at the edge of the sound barrier exactly what you should be doing when you check out in that faster airplane you've been eyeing. Respect the sequence. Let the data lead, quick reset on where this stands. So you've got the facts straight. The XB-1 demonstrator has flown supersonic more than once over the Mojave, and Boom reports that a boomless cruise, a supersonic pass with no boom reaching the ground, was observed and measured. The passenger airplane, Overture, and its Symphony engine are still in development, with a factory going up in North Carolina and orders on the books from major carriers, and the FAA has been directed to reconsider the overland supersonic rule and move toward a noise-based standard. Three separate things, all real, all pointed in the same direction. That reporting comes to us from Boom Supersonic's own flight test releases from the coverage over at AVWeb and the broader aviation trade press, and from the FAA's own public statements on the rulemaking direction. Credit where it's due to the test pilots and engineers who did the actual work at Mojave, quietly, over the desert, before any of us read a word about it. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. The last time an American company was seriously trying to make supersonic passenger flight work, most of us weren't born yet or weren't flying yet. It's worth watching this one with clear eyes, neither starry nor cynical. Keep the blue side up, and I'll see you on the next update.